This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. We want to hear from you. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL1. F the Jags, 32-28 win. Who would have thought this team would score 32 points after the way they started the season? 3-1 since the bye, and I'm making a case right now. They are playing the best football in the AFC South. I mean, you look at Houston, lost 10 straight. Indy's 2-2 in their last four games in their last two. Mm-hmm. Really hard time scoring touchdowns, including today. And Tennessee losing 3 out of 4. The Jags are playing the best football right now in the AFC South.
I actually have to agree with you because the way that they're winning, they're not winning. They're going on the road and taking teams out that actually have legitimate playoff, you know, implications. They went to a Tennessee team that if they win, they keep themselves pretty much alive. Here in Cleveland, they had a glimpse of hope to go out there and beat them.
I mean, against Arizona, who's also looking to get into the playoffs as well.
So, I mean, they've been playing some really good football, and it's a lot. You got to give a big, big high five to Coach Gus Bradley and how he's got the team playing right now.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to Coach Gus Bradley. You know, after the 0-8 starts, this team could have easily packed it in. But you saw in those games, those blowout losses, them still fighting in the end. And you see it transitioning into actually wins and losses now towards the end of the season. Still fighting, still playing hard and getting wins and finally getting rewarded for it. Still some of the same issues that really concern me, like the way the offense just disappears for quarters at a time. I mean, this game could have been a lot easier of a win than it actually ended up being. But the offense just disappeared. I mean, they scored early. They had that great drive to start off the game, the 80-yard drive. And then they were gone for almost, you know, 3.5 quarters till the very end of the game. I mean, they did score some points, but that was more the defense giving them a real short field. When you only got to go 20 yards, it's easy to score points. I'm talking about the long, sustained drives. And I thought, here we go again with them down at the end of the fourth quarter, needing the offense to come through. And the offense finally came through.
You know, they're limited with the playmakers. You know, figure at the quarterback position, only 4.9 per pass. You know, that's passing the ball into the backfield. It's basically like running the ball. And then you don't have a deep threat at the wide receiver position. Cecil Shorts a couple years ago was able to get down. But most of the time, you seem like his long balls are a miscommunication by the opposing team's secondary. Not able to go ahead and get some balls down the field. So you're missing that big play receiver and a quarterback unable to get that done, which limits, you know, Fish's ability to call those big, to get those big plays to keep those balls moving. But you have to say he did do a pretty good job today and being creative in the play call.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the way that they got Ace Sanders involved early on, but then you missed Ace Sanders for a while. And Cecil, you know, I was ready. It's funny how one drive can make a big difference. I'm ready to come on and rip Cecil because, you know, he wants the ball. He wants to be the man. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants it more often. And granted, yeah, you're going against one of the best corners in the league, but that's what the man does. That's what the number one wide receiver does.
That's what you're looking for. You want your best guy.
Yeah, you get the number one corner every week, and you still make plays. That's what makes you a number one. I was ready to be like, you know, you disappeared. You had some big drops again this week, and then coming through in the end with that big touchdown. What a difference one drive makes.
That's for sure. You know, that was a huge play. Huge.
Let's get to your phone calls. 355-NFL1. It's 355-6351 to chime in. Wanted to know what you thought about today's game. And we're going to Mike in Arlington to start it off. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good today. I called in last week about the Jaguars making, you know, the playoffs within the next 3 to 4 or 5 years. But today's question is, I watched the game. Who will Jacksonville pick up in the first round as a quarterback next year? Will it be A.J. McCarron, Todd Boyd, Teddy Bridgewater, or Aaron Murray? Because I see a playoff team on the field when I see us play today. I see the playoff team. I'm telling you guys, it's a playoff team.
You know what? It really all depends, honestly, on where the Jaguars end up because you got some heavy hitters at quarterback and some teams that are in real need of a quarterback. So it really depends on who's in front of them. I mean, Houston looks like they're going to be in front of the Jags. They're in definite need of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Atlanta might be in front of them, though, and Atlanta's not in a desperate need for a quarterback. So it's really, you know, if Cleveland ends up losing a couple more, Jags lose a couple more, Cleveland's in need of a quarterback. So it's really going to be interesting once the draft does finally come around to see what teams are in front and then what teams need quarterbacks and then which ones are available. I think at this point, if they end up fourth, fifth in the draft, they'll just probably take the best quarterback available on the board.
Yeah, you know, you figure, look at the schedule, Houston, Buffalo, Tennessee, and going to the Colts. they may mess around and beat their mark last year and get more like five or six wins possibly. That is going to push them way down the draft. So it's really hard to say exactly if it's even going to be a quarterback that they're even going to choose with their draft position.
Yeah, if they got three guys ranked in the top five and those three guys are gone, they may go somewhere else. Because like we said last week, this team needs a lot of help. Yeah. You know, they need offensive line help. They need pass rushers. You know, they need a whole bunch. So they could obviously use another playmaker at wide receiver. So I think it's going to be one of those situations where best available, and don't necessarily bet on a quarterback, especially if you keep winning games.
And I have to agree. You know, they look like a playoff team right now, not so much because of their play on the field, but because of this division right now. You figure the Tennessee Titans, they can't get nothing done. Indianapolis, you know, if this team can play like it's playing right now, get a couple cupcakes like they've had in next season, you know, all of a sudden now you would see the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not necessarily that they're just an outstanding football team, but you got to remember now, they did play a 4-17 with Whedon, a Tennessee Titans team that's average, very, very, not real good, then the Houston Texans that's really well. And so, you know, you can't just say that they're an outstanding team, but for where they are and where they've come from, they're doing a lot better.
Yeah, we've gone a long way from saying, hey, maybe they could go 0-16 and the number one pick, to saying, hey, maybe they get in that
playoffs.
Top five.
Yeah, you got to still, you know, still work in progress.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. We're going to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing?
How are you guys?
Good, man.
Sorry I didn't call last week. I was on the road.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, keep your eyes on the road, Jay.
Well, here's what I think needs to do. If we're going to get a quarterback in the draft, I think first we need to get rid of Blaine, first off. And then, second of all, I think we need to keep Chad around as a veteran, like to show him like how things should get done.
Yeah, I mean, great points. I think that's pretty obvious. I think Blaine, either he's not going to be around next year, or possibly he'll be the third quarterback. Maybe they want to keep him around just in case, see if he's still got that glimmer of hope. But he doesn't have a sniff of getting his shot, the starter again. And then they'll probably pick up a quarterback, and then he'll be your starter eventually. Don't know if he'd actually be the number one guy right away. I think it all depends how Chad Henne finishes up number one and who they get, NFL ready they are.
Yeah, if they draft a quarterback, you know, it's going to be a competition. I think, again, going to training camp between Henne and Gabbert, you know, who's going to actually be that backup guy, you know. But again, you know, I look at the schedule, man. It's possible these guys may end up with, I'm not unrealistic to say 6 wins. That's going to push them pretty far down, I think, in the draft order, to where it may not be a quarterback that they're picking.
You figure at least 2 more. You should win against Houston because you beat them once already, and they're still struggling. Even though they did play a little better, they still struggled. And you got Buffalo
at home, Tennessee at home.
Tennessee, but it's a rivalry game, so anything can go.
You always play Indianapolis really tough. I mean,
and the way Indy's been playing lately, I mean, ever since Reggie Wayne went down, Indy is not the same team.
These last 4 games, it's not unrealistic, in my view, to see maybe 3 more wins.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Kevin in McClinney. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It was a great game, and the coaching is just absolutely fantastic. There was a couple things on the defensive side. I think they should have done more over and under on that, you know, number 12 for Cleveland. But their talent isn't that great. Well, it's good, but it's not exceptional. And I think the coaching staff is doing an excellent job. And also, who is going to have the number one quarterback rating this week? Is it going to be Maurice Jones-Drew?
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of those, Maurice Jones-Drew has a perfect rating, but you know, you have to have complete so many passes, or at least attempt so many passes
with you guys. But the coaches were fantastic. You got to give credit to the coaches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think
they won the game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like we said earlier, the game plan was great. I think the way that you could tell they were looking to get Ace Sanders the ball. They say, he's one of our best playmakers. Let's find different ways to get him the ball. And they put together a good game plan to do that and got away from it a little bit. Not sure if that's more the defense taking Ace away or what, but they're playing to the strength. And like you heard Gus Bradley say, if you listen to the post-game press conference, he said, you know, it takes a while for a team to learn themselves, but it takes a while for the coaches to learn their team, find out what they do really well, what they don't do so well, and then tailor the offense to it.
Yeah, you know, protecting Henne by throwing short passes, not having him exposed because he's not really good at evading the rush, and also protecting the offensive line, not having to block real long with those long passes down the field, you know, by throwing those really short plays. The only thing I like to see is those guys, when they do get those short balls, make the big play, run after the catch.
Like a Wes Welker type.
Yeah, they don't make a whole lot run after the catch. They catch the ball, and it's pretty easy to bring down, you know, right now bring down Ace and Cecil.
Well, you know, yeah, because they're small guys, number one. But two, you got to look at blocks. I mean, there was a couple out there that the receivers needed to make a block or two, and they couldn't make the blocks.
It goes to the size. You got to get some girth out there. It's a small wide receiver core.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to James in Gainesville. James, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys, man. I'm having a great weekend. It was my birthday Saturday, Jags anniversary. I'm just having a great time with that win. But you guys already answered some of the questions, because if the Jags keep winning, how would we fall in that draft order, and what will we take?
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's really hard to say, you know, considering the schedule. I'm looking at the schedule again. I just can't get away from it and how these other teams pan out. The Jags, realistic, in my view, I think they're going to have 6 wins. You're talking about a team that's going to, you know, end up with 6 wins.
I'm thinking
which
two
put
more.
Them about like,
I'm thinking two more.
Just two more?
I think
six, man. You know, it's, you know, all the rest of these teams are all helter-skelter. And right now,
well,
the
I mean,
Jaguars
you make a good point, too. If Indy's got the division wrapped up at the end there, they're not going to be playing starters.
Yeah.
So there could be a win there, too. Yeah, you could see 6 wins. And, you know, like we keep saying, it really all falls on what teams' needs are. Like they're saying, this is going to be a quarterback-heavy draft. Jaguars are in dead need of a quarterback. So you got to look at who's going to be drafting in front of them. We mentioned the team, you know, Houston needing one, Atlanta not so much. So if Atlanta's in front of them, there's one more quarterback that could slip a little bit further into the Jags position. And, you know, don't rule out trading back in. They've got a lot of draft picks this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they could trade down a little bit, give up some picks. But for me, I'd say just take
or
your best player
trade
available
up,
and wait.
You may be able to offer someone up along with some extra picks and move up in the draft.
Two words, Jameis Winston. He'll be around next year as long as he's not in jail. He'll be around. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We're taking more of your calls coming back after this on The Scoreboard Show. This is The Scoreboard Show, brought to you by PRI Productions. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jay Gray here, joined here by Marco Coleman. Started talking a little bit about the draft and looking at some of these teams. You know, you got Houston, 2-10, they need a quarterback. Atlanta, 2-9, they don't need a quarterback. Tampa, 3-9, they could go either way. They got Glennon starting for a while, so you don't know. Washington's at 3-8. They're not going to take another quarterback. Minnesota's at 3-8. They're not going to take another quarterback. Or they need a quarterback. And
yeah.
Cleveland at 4-8. They probably do. Oakland could go either way. Buffalo won't. Giants won't. These are all the teams that are within a game of the Jaguars right now. So even if they do come in, you know, sixth pick of the draft, they can still get one of those good big top name quarterbacks. Taking your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Troy in Panama City. Troy, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Great game today. Back and forth, you know. Basically, I guess it's a little bit of a comment, you know, on kind of what y'all touched on earlier. You know, I wouldn't be so upset to see the Jags maybe go after a guy like Michael Vick, assuming that he's going to be available at the end of the year, possibly maybe Phillip Rivers to maybe fill in for a year or two or something if he goes free agency, you know, just to stockpile, you know, other positions. You know, we got a lot of picks coming up. I understand it's going to be a quarterback heavy draft this year, but man, I'd really love to see him, you know, go after Winston the year after instead of settling for somebody next year if they don't get who they want.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be the big key. I don't know about free agent wise right now, and the reason I say I don't know about free agents, because we've talked about on the show, guys got to want to come here. And, you know, for some people, especially like a Phillip Rivers who doesn't have that championship that he's always wanted, he's getting a little older in the tooth, I don't think he's going to want to come to a team that's rebuilding, even if the Jaguars do just throw a ton of money at him. So it's going to be hard to get in a veteran that can win you games and only know he's going to come around for a couple years. And a guy like Michael Vick, I can't play 16 games, so you're still going to need a backup there, a guy like a Chad Henne. So why would you even go after something like that?
You know, but if this team can end up 6-10, the whole league is going to recognize this. You figure it's a team that people had picked in the beginning of the season to go 0-16. All of a sudden here at the end of the season, they end up on a big-time winning streak. You know, you got to go ahead and really recognize that type of body of work. And then they pick up, get a prominent player from college football during the draft that's not a quarterback or – either a running back or a wide receiver, they feel like, okay, there's an opportunity there to be on a team that has an opportunity to win next year in a very short period of time. It's not unrealistic. I think those free agents will recognize that. But I think it's all contingent on this team continuing to play in, the way that they're playing and continue to improve. I mean, they're nowhere near where they need to be right now. If they can continue this and keep getting better each and every week, that's going to make a big difference in decisions of some of these free agents.
And that's the thing. And you're competing. You're also competing with wins and losses against teams for free agents. Like we're saying, you know, like somebody like in Arizona, who you see, they're competing for the playoffs right now. If they don't make it, I don't know if Carson Palmer's necessarily the answer. If you got Phillip Rivers out there, and let's say he wants that championship, where would you rather go? You know, someplace where you don't know if Justin Blackman's going to play in Cecil Shorts, or would you rather throw to Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best receivers of all time?
Yeah, similar situation. You know, if you got a new coach, a new head coach, you know, they would look attractive. But I think, you know, you got a younger team, though, here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, you got some youth out there. That makes a big difference also.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Mike in St. Augustine. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. I'm really happy. I'm glad Gus kept it on track, and I'm also really, really happy about how it seems like all the receivers kind of got involved. And I have a question for Marco. I've heard a rumor that you've been practicing for the night game. You're going to break out the Puma, some fat laces, and some vinyl pledge, and boogie down Bronx.
Hey, man. Go ahead, Marco. Break it down.
Hey, man. They have to have the ambulance right next to me for when I break a leg or something. That would be crazy. Nah, that's definitely a rumor.
I think I'm going to talk to the Jaguars, see if we can get a halftime special of Marco breakdancing.
She better get a video from back in 87.
Oh, look, Marco's breaking it down right now. He's breaking out some of those moves.
And that's my joints.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Go to Dalton in Orlando. Break this up a little bit. Break up this dance party. Dalton, how you doing, man?
Let me boogie a little.
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Good. What's happening, mate?
I just wanted to comment on the offseason, on the play of these offseason free agents that we got. You know, Sindel Marks in there, he's been looking like a pretty elite force ever in there in the pass rush. And then Roy Miller has been great to compliment him. And also, you know, the cornerback Allen Ball has been very well, too. Do you think going forward, I know next year we'll probably do the same kind of thing in the free agency where we try to go cheaper and more, you know, quality guys. But do you think once the day comes and we have a 12-4, you know, 13-3 season, we're going to go about the same kind of thing and go for cheaper guys? Or do you think we'll try to, you know, break out the checkbook and go for bigger names?
I think they're going to want to go after bigger names. And like we were just saying before, I think it's a matter of whether those bigger names want to come in and play. And like you said, you know, when you have a lot of holes and a young team, you want to kind of spread the money around and get quality players at each position to fill holes. Once they realize it looks like, you know, in the secondary, it looks like it's going to be pretty solid for a couple years to come. They might not necessarily need to fill that hole. Now, last year, that was a big hole that they had to fill. They filled that with some young guys who don't have big salaries right now because most of them are rookies. So you come in and, yeah, you can actually now have a surplus of cash, let's say, that you wouldn't have to spend on the secondary that you can bring in, you know, a pass rusher. You can bring in a big-time wide receiver, a quarterback.
You know, it all depends on what's available also and how attractive this destination looks to those free agents. I'm sure that they'll go after the biggest and the brightest players in order to get this thing done. I don't think it's an issue as to the money, at all, but the attractiveness. And does that player actually fit what's going on with Gus Bradley in this game? It may be a big-time player that's out there, but does he fit what Jeff Fish wants to do? Does he fit what Babbage wants to do defensively? And that all those things will play a big part.
Yeah, and have you seen over in the past, you know, teams that try to rebuild through free agency doesn't really work out the way they plan. I mean, they look great on paper, but usually ends up into a terrible season.
Hey, man, I was on a team where we had Bruce Smith, Deion Sanders, Daryl Green, Champ Bailey. Who else did we have? Man, we had just about like 6 or 7 Hall
like
of Famers.
Like a Pro Bowl roster right there.
8-8. I'm talking about it was a Hall of Fame roster, yeah. Dude. It was 8-8. You know what I mean? And that was all off of, free agency. You know, that doesn't mean you're going to be an outstanding football team because you get a whole bunch of these superstars. And you got to have a cohesiveness and and players that fit what the head coach wants to get done.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Taking your calls. Let's go to Nick in Orange Park. Nick, how you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
Have you ever seen a more inspired team on the field, though? I mean, maybe that's just the youth, but I mean, these guys love playing for Gus, and it's like the best, most inspired team you've seen since like 07.
Yeah, that's exactly how I started off the show. I mean, you saw it in those losses, in those blowout losses, the guys still playing with heart in the fourth quarter. And now it's finally transitioned into the wins where, even though the season's over, when you're not making the playoffs, they're still playing with heart and still trying to get those wins and still playing relatively well. I mean, I think with the talent level on this team that we saw in the beginning, they are outplaying what their talent level is. And that's a sign of great coaching.
Mm-hmm. And they're buying in. You know, I believe that Cus Bradley has interpreted throughout this whole season that it's about getting better. You see, you hear him mention about playing your best football, and that's all that's been preached. Not so much going out and winning football games, but putting the best effort and the best product out there each and every time that they go out. And they've been able to do that and improve that, especially since the bye week. You know, I think he lit a fire during that bye week, you know, especially the comments, well, one, by giving them a lot of time off, and then maybe a few games prior to it, talking about the effort, talking about the things that he didn't see out of a football team that he desires to have on his football team. And these guys have answered the bell and begun to play like that. And I would say now, you know, consistently over these last 4 weeks.
Night and day difference between this team now and this team early on in the year. I mean, well, early in the year, you never would have saw that fourth quarter drive when you need a score, really need a touchdown to secure the win, not just send it to overtime where anything can happen, and actually come out and get it.
Yeah, but you know, but it definitely helps when you're playing against the Titans instead of the Chiefs, or you're playing against, you know, the Houston Texans instead of the Seattle Seahawks. You know, those type of things also make a big difference.
Yeah, when they start beating the Kansas Cities and the Denvers of the world, they will get a little more excited. But right now, I mean, that's always been the recipe to win. You know,
Yeah. It's
you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and then maybe go 500 against the teams that you should, and then you're probably in the playoffs. You know, you figure every year there's about eight teams that you probably should beat if you're a good team.
And especially when now that you've won games, you believe in what the coaches are telling you. You're having some success at it. So now when you face those teams like the Seattles and the Broncos, you have a lot more confidence going into those games. Hey, we actually probably can win these games because we won before. We know if we do things correctly, we can win football games.
We know when we're down in the fourth quarter, we need one drive to score. We've done it before, and we can do it again. Hey, visit Jaguars.com and check out the Inside the Jaguars driven by Tom Bush to get caught up on all the latest Jaguar news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. This is the Scoreboard Show. We're taking more of your calls after this break at 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Coming right back here on the Scoreboard Show.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And this injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Really just one to talk about, and that was Josh Evans going out with that shoulder injury. Coach Gus Bradley didn't say too much either way, yes or no, if it's going to be a big injury or if it's not. So we're going to find out more tomorrow when he does his afternoon press conference. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Taking your calls, let's go to Henry in Argyle. Henry, how you doing?
Hey, guys, okay. Hey, what prompted you to call was a guy calling. I want to bring Michael Vick in. You know, I think Jerry Rice and Jim Brown are available, too.
Hey, you know, hey, Michael Vick's still playing, at least. I mean, you know, he might still have
some
legs.
He's not playing. He's sitting on the bench in Philadelphia, isn't he?
That he is.
You know, we're a young team. We don't need to bring old guys in here. Marco's right. Dan Snyder in Washington, he tried to buy a Super Bowl. What did he end up with? Salary cap problems and an 8-8 record. You know, we don't need to bring in these high-priced free agents. We want to get to a point we have to pay our own free agents from going somewhere. We develop them through the draft. That's the way to do it. Don't look for other people. If another team's willing to let them go, then there must be a reason. That's all in my philosophy, you know.
Hey, great points. Thanks for the call, man. I mean, it's true. It's, you know, one or two maybe, but at the same point, you know, you can't build a team with free agents. It just doesn't seem to work in the NFL. For whatever reason, you can't put all-star teams together.
And like I said, I have to believe that the management and the coaching staff have an idea, a blueprint right now as to how they want to go about building this team in this third year, competing for a Super Bowl. Now, you know, I think right now it's realistic to say next season, the way this division looks, they may compete to get in the playoffs next year, add a couple of pieces, and the next thing you know, shoot, 9-7, the way these teams are, I think realistically next season, that will win the division. So now in year three, add a couple of major pieces. You know, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and you go back to even Justin Blackmon. If he can come back, keep his nose clean, that's like getting your own free agent right there, because he's probably one of the best receivers out there. I mean, he proved it this year. Mm-hmm. He was leading the NFL in yards after catch after only a couple games. He can be one of the best receivers out there. That's like bringing in a free agent. That's another piece that he won't necessarily have to fill if he can keep his nose clean.
And we keep talking about all these specialty guys and things of that nature. We haven't been talking about the number one pick from this year. You get Joko back, man, and now all of a sudden you add something to that offensive line. You figure that's where it's built. You see all the teams when they're rebuilding teams, the first thing they do, what they go out on that offensive line. And they've done that. So now you got the big time guy at left tackle to protect the quarterback when you do bring him in. Matter of fact, I think even for Chad Henne, if you have Jokel in there, that may change the type of pass plays they would be able to throw.
And he looked a little fidgety in the pocket. I mean, there were a couple plays, and you know, you got to realize why, because he's getting destroyed the past couple games. You know, there was pressure that wasn't necessarily there, that he kind of got a little happy feet, rolled out a little bit when he should have stuck it with the ball a little bit longer and thrown it down the
field.
That's
him, though. I mean, he's terrible in the pocket. I mean, Henne, you know,
he would be too, though, if you, I mean, you were getting hit every other play, like get destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, but he's, even when he's got protection, he looks skittish. You know, you have to be able to move around the pocket. You look at all the great quarterbacks, Brady, Manning,
Breeze.
These guys, they stay in the pocket amongst the rush, but they find a way to get themselves open. They don't just stand there. They know you got to shuffle up, shuffle back. They feel it. He doesn't have a feeling, and he doesn't feel the rush. And that's when the knocks on him as a quarterback. You know, he's a very sackable guy. Very, very sackable.
355 NFL 1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Saqib. Saqib, how you doing today? I bet you're pumped.
What's up, man?
Saqib.
Hey, I just texted Josh, and I said I should be okay. So he said he's going to see you tomorrow. So that's kind of good news for us. That I'm going to see him back, you know, Josh Adams.
Okay, okay.
So it's kind of nice.
Oh, that's your boy. So you're on texting basis with him? That's your man, huh?
Well, yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a Florida State fan, and we beat the, you know what, out of them, so it's kind of nice, you know. But listen to this. Okay, this team is, I think we can get, my thing is, we should go after Allen as a pass rusher from Minnesota Vikings, right? Because he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, but he's also going to be like 40.
I think he can still play. I really do think that he can still play a couple more years. So I think we need to go after him and keep the guys, a couple of guys that we have here, and go get, I don't care, go get Manziel, go get the kid out of Georgia, go get the kid out of Alabama. I don't care who it is, just go get us a quarterback, and I think we can compete with any of the, because our division is not that good. I'm sorry to say that, but the Colts are not that good. So we can compete next year, just like Marco said, and I can't wait till Thursday night. I cannot wait till Thursday night. It's going to be great. Because I know we're going to win 2-0 against Texas.
You going to be at the game?
Oh, you know what? You know I'm going to be there.
My man, Saqib. I'm going to be looking for you, man, too.
All right, dude.
All right, thanks for the call. I mean, he does bring in a good point about, you know, some of these the weaker division. And you see what happens to Indy. They lose one guy, Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank.
Mm-hmm. And what he's doing is, by him being out, you're allowing this young secondary for the Jaguars to get some experience. They're going to be ready for him next year. You know, you got Ball. Today was a huge test for him. I would have to think that they didn't do things defensively to, I guess, protect Gratz when he was going against Gordon, to give him an opportunity to see what it feels like to go against all the big-time guys. You know, and it was a learning lesson for him. You know, how do I defend this big 230-pound monster at wide receiver?
No one's been able to figure it out, though. So to give the Jags D credit, no one's really been able to figure him out
monster,
this year,
man.
Either.
And these are the type of games that all they do is they just make the player, these young guys, better. Cyprian, you can't say enough about his development. He's seen playing up closer to the line of scrimmage, but also being effective in the secondary in the pass plays. You know, that young secondary, you get Josh Evans back, feel pretty confident in their ability. It's that front seven still. You know, they did a good job early on, but in that second half, they allowed a couple of nice runs. It was, probably Cleveland's fault for not sticking to the run more, you know, and putting in the ball in the Whedon's hands.
You just look at Josh Gordon's last three games, over 600 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns.
He's a monster.
And he's going against decent defense. I mean, Pittsburgh, I know they're not the defense that they once were, but they got some good players. And Cincinnati's been playing
a pretty
good defense lately, too. So he's doing it against everybody, so it's not just Jacksonville.
It was a great experience for Gratz. Great experience.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. And, you know, Saqib brought up another good point about these quarterbacks. There's a couple quarterbacks that are going through some injury problems right now, like the guy from Georgia, like the guy from Oregon. Some guys that are out there that might fall in the draft that were you know, a couple weeks ago even, one of those top three, top five quarterbacks could be falling into the second, third round. So you might even still be able to get a good quality quarterback because somebody's afraid to take a chance, unlike the quarterback from Georgia who's, you know, tore his ACLs, who probably won't be ready to begin the season. You might be able to take a chance on him later in the rounds and still get a pretty good quality quarterback out of it.
Yeah, I think they still need some weapons, though. You know, you figure you'll see more of the same that you see right now if you don't have Blackman available and you don't get a big-time wide receiver that can stretch the field. Because right now, Cecil Shorts, he's not going to stretch the field. Ace is not a stretch-the-field kind of guy. Mike Brown, he's coming back from his injury. He's shown to be able to stretch the field. But all these guys are, like, under 6 feet tall. I think Mike Brown may be 6 foot tall. So, you know, you got to get a big wide receiver that also can get down the field. 4.9 per pass, where they're dead last in the league as pass per play and yardage-wise. You know, and that's because they don't go down the field. A little bit is Henny in the offensive line, but at the same time, you got to have some weapons that can get open down the field.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once Blackman comes back, you can get another big guy on that side. So you got a 1-2 combination with them, plus Cecil Shorts and playing the slot. That's a real good receiving core
changes
right there.
Changes the game. Yeah, we got to get Blackman back out there.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're taking more of your phone calls after this. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Jags. Big winners today, 32-28, 3-1 since the bye. Winning back-to-back games for the first time since 2010. Gotta love it.
Yeah, man, this is the time, really, you want to play your best football. You get yourself to this position.
After Thanksgiving,
and you're playing your best football. This is when the great teams make their push, play their best football going into the postseason.
Great sign for Gus Bradley. I mean, I know the early season was a struggle, but if he can continue to have success, you know, late November, early December, that's going to be huge once the Jaguars can actually get those wins early in the season, and you're pushing for that wild card, or you're pushing for that division
title. That's huge.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Eric on the west side. Eric, how you doing?
What's going on, Jay and Marco? How y'all doing?
Hey there, Eric.
Hey, man, what's the deal going on with all the Fairweather fans still hanging around? Where was everybody early this season?
That's the way it's always been here. I mean, I don't think I know a bigger bandwagon fan base than here in Jacksonville.
Well, I mean, come on. I've been a Jags fan since the day they came into town. And, you know, just like my Gators, I'm a fan. Doesn't matter win or lose. All these people saying, oh, move this, that, the other. Maybe they should get out.
You gotta love them through.
I think it really depends on who you talk to, too, because it seems like there are just such a mixture of fans, and I think that has to do with a lot of the Jags' up-and-down roller coaster franchise history, really. I mean, you got fans that love them no matter what. You got guys like Saqib calling in who, you know, bleeds teal every week, and then you got guys that doesn't matter what the team does. They just want them out of town. They could care less, and then you got those other fans that all they care about is if they get Tim Tebow or not.
Well, you know, never mind. We won't go there. That door's been closed. But yeah, they need. If you don't bleed teal, if you don't like them, then you don't have to watch them. But you know, don't bring the rest of us down.
Yep, thanks for the call, man. I mean, it'll be really great to see on a short week after the Jags going 3-1 since the bye week just how crazy the stadium can get. Because, I mean, you're in prime time. They're planning this nice big party to go on beforehand. You know, the town's encouraging all the employees or all
take
the businesses.
Off work. Yeah, yeah, let down.
Let your employees off of work. Come on down and hang out. It'd be great to see that atmosphere. We haven't seen a winning atmosphere around town in a long time. And, you know, throw the record out the window, and 3-1 their past four games. That's winning record right there.
Yeah, I think the team has performed and given the fans enough, especially on the road, to give them a really big reception coming back home for a three-game stretch. Hopefully, the energy will be there. And, you know, and teams, they really do feed off of that. You know, they come home feeling really confident, and they have a fan base that's really behind them. You'll see them wear the darn Texans out because they're wounded, man. And, you know, with the right app, they keep playing the way that they're playing now, and they have this confidence. It won't, you know, it can get started early. They'll be able to put the nails in the coffin.
And that's the other good thing. I mean, it's a short week, so this momentum can carry. It doesn't have to carry throughout the entire week. You know, people get bogged down. It's the first week back of work after a long Thanksgiving break, all that stuff. People get bogged down, I understand. But you have the momentum, quick turnaround, and people will still be excited talking about this Jaguars win and how good they're playing lately. going into a Thursday night against division rivals, and those are always fun. It seems like anytime the Jags play in a primetime game, they usually end up having a really good game, whether they win or lose. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember games against Indy, games against the Ravens, games that people just had no chance they were going to win, and they come out and win the game, or at least keep it really close.
Yeah, you figure, being a short week, this is where, you know, having the fifth youngest team in the league is going to be in play an advantage. You got those young guys with these fresh legs.
And relatively healthy team,
and this is a real, yeah, pretty healthy team. You don't have anyone really significantly hurt. You know what the deal is with Evans. Hopefully he can be back in enough time.
You got a couple guys on IR that you have to deal with. But, I mean, you deal with that every season. They weren't going to be around anyway. It seems like you don't have the guys with the nagging injuries anymore, like Mercedes and his calf, you know, from earlier in the year. That doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. I just need to get him on the field more, get a little more productive out of him.
We'll be able to see how the team can handle a little bit of expectation. I think with winning those three games on the road, I don't think it's unrealistic to see a solid performance. Now, we definitely want to see a win, which is a team I think they should win. I think they'll be favored probably for the first time.
Yeah, that was
season.
The other question I was going to have.
I think they will. They should. You know,
even this game, though, against a Cleveland team that's not very good, they were still, I think, a 7.5
point
underdog.
Yeah, and they've proven they're road warriors. You know, to go and to beat these teams on the road, that like the Titans, if they would have beaten the Jaguars, kept themselves in a good position in the division. The Cleveland Browns, they have had a small chance. They needed to get this win to keep themselves in a position to get into the playoffs. And, you know, and then you figure, well, the Texans were out of it.
Texans played really well. They didn't show any give up today playing against a good New England team.
Two legitimate teams that had something to play for. You know what I mean? And they went in their house and beat them. So that says a lot. So against those odds, coming home against a team that, like I said, all intents and purposes, you should beat, I don't think it's unrealistic to have a little bit of expectation. So we'll see how this young team, this young coach, they handle a small glimmer of expectation.
Well, now you hear about trap games all the time in the NFL. You know, teams that you're supposed to roll over, you're too busy looking towards next week. Now, I know this isn't necessarily a trap game because the Jaguars are happy to get any wins they can and they're not overlooking any team, but how easy is it for it to get in a player's head, especially a young player, you know, you being in the NFL, a team that you sit there and say, wow, they've lost 10 in a row, we should beat this team, no problem, we already beat them once. Does that come into play a lot?
Well, you know, and that's going to be up to the head coach to bring that level of you know, that stabilizing force within the locker room. And then guys like Maurice Jones-Drew, guys like Mercedes Lewis, you know, a Meester. These guys, they understand what it's like to play divisional rivals, you know, twice a year and to beat them at one point in time. And this is going to be the deal in how mature they are. And like I said, even the head coach, having this win streak and having a little bit of expectations now. People are expecting you to win now. You know, before it was easy to go out there and play, and there was no expectations on you to go out there and do well. That's easy, really, to go out there because, you know, you figure nobody cares. If you win, if you lose, we expect you to lose. But now, you know, we want to see a little something happen, and they haven't been expected to perform well. And I think this week, even with a short week, they're expected to do that.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing. You know, you talked about them being a young team, and that'll help, you know, because they'll have fresher legs, but it also could hurt with the maturity factor where, you know, you have that situation where you've won three out of your last four. You have beaten the Texans already. They've still keep losing 10 games in a row, but nothing's changed in the past 11 days. They still have a decent defense, at least on paper, and they put up, what, 31 points against the Patriots and took them to the wire, a Patriots team that still has stuff to play for. You know, they're playing for a high seed in the playoffs. You know, not necessarily the division, but they're playing for that high seed, that bye week. That's a big reward right there. So, you know, New England wasn't just rolling over and putting guys in on the bench to keep them healthy for the playoffs, and they played pretty hard on that. So it could be a tough game, and I could easily see a young team like the Jaguars getting all the success going to the head and then coming out real flat again. You don't want to do that. You don't want to ruin all this momentum that they've had.
You know, and I don't think that'll be the case. If one thing that I can say that Bradley has been able to do is how to keep the fire going. You know, it's hard to do it in the midst of losing. We saw this team continue to come and battle and play with enthusiasm, especially after I forgot what game it was where he mentioned the effort was bad and things of that nature. But since his bye week, they've had nothing to play for. They knew 8 games left, and they've come out and they've performed well, especially in the midst, you know, going on the road and getting it done when everyone's all against you. I think they're going to play inspired football. It's not going to be a cakewalk by no stretch of the imagination. I you still got J.J. Watt out there. You still got Smith. You still got Andre Johnson out there. Yeah, I don't know if Foster will come back at all or anything of that nature.
He's done.
But Ben Tate's still out there.
Ben Tate had 3 touchdowns today.
So, you know, it's not going to be an easy game. But, you know, with the way that this team has been playing, where they've gone and they've won games, the difficulty of the wins that they've made, coming home they should find some comfort and be even more enthusiastic because you got your crowd behind you now. Now that defense that's been trying to pass rush and it's been quiet, and you know, now that offensive line has been okay with the snap count, now all of a sudden you get these Jags fans roaring and you get to see guys like Batman. You'll be able, hopefully, jump off sides and get these big jumps because been, now, yeah.
There's more. Speaking of improvement, there you go. What was the last time you see him jump off sides and line up in the neutral zone?
So, you know, they'll get those things at home. You get the crowd noise to kind of disrupt what the opponent's offense is doing, which they haven't had in the three wins that they've had. So there are going to be a lot of things in their favor that I think that they will take advantage of, that they've been taking advantage of on the road. And, you know, like I said, I'm picking the Jags. And I had them in my man. I'm picking to win Thursday. I got them. I believe now.
Viewers, Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Viewer Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Taking more of your calls next at 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351 here in the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. You are listening to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. If you want to get in on the conversation, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Going back to the phones with Mike in Green Cove. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I just want to touch base on one thing. You were talking earlier about part-time Jaguar fans or wannabe fans or
diehard
fans.
Yep.
Yeah, well, my thing is this. For 3 years, I listened to Brian Sexton be so negative about our team. And now that he's positive, I feel so much better. I've not heard so many negative comments lately. Even if we're doing bad or having hard times, at least we're being positive towards our team and our fan base.
Yeah, I think it's a thin line there between being positive, negative, and actually what's actually happening in the game. Because if you look at those first eight games of the year, you could sit there and say that everybody's being negative about the team, but they're not necessarily being negative. They're just reporting on what's actually happening. You know, if the offense is struggling and they can't score points, that's a negative. If the guys are getting blown out by 20 points, it's a negative.
Yeah, he's got to report on. You got to have some positive things to report on. The past 3 years, that haven't been too much positive things to say.
No, I respect what you're saying. I'm saying this year has been a change in atmosphere with his behavior concern. For 3 years, I've been unable to attend the games, but I get to listen to the radio, and I don't feel good about my team when my announcer has really not talked positive. Even if times are tough, you don't denounce the players on your team, and that's how I have felt. So this has been a huge change. I'm glad for the new owner. I'm glad for everything that's happening in Jacksonville, and I truly am a supporter of the Jags. I just feel that a change in the behavior of the way it came across on the radio to the fans has been a big improvement.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right.
It is, like I said, it's a fine line to do. I mean, when your team is playing really bad, it's kind of hard to sit there and not be negative the entire time. Whether you want to come across as negative or not, I mean, when you got a report that the Jaguars got 3 yards of total offense for a complete quarter, I mean, it's going to sound negative to a lot of people. When to the other people, it's going to be like, hey, you know. And honestly, I think it sounds really fake. I mean, there used to be a lot of shows that would sit there and dwell on just the positive things happen around here when you get blown out 48-2. You know what I mean? Like, it happens, and that just really sounds fake. Like, let's start off a show and talk about the 20 things positive, even though we just got blown out by 30 points. Like, you can't do it.
Man, the Jags haven't had a winning season since 2007. You know, and when you have that type of slide, where is the positivity going to come from? You know, you only can report what you see. And if you don't have anything positive occurring, then how can you say a whole lot of things positive? You know, I think now with the new team, new owner, you know, new coach, completely whole new regime. This is a legitimate rebuilding situation right now. You got to feel a lot of positive. You got to have a lot of hope because it's a new deal.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to also put it in perspective too. Like this game, you know, we've been talking about a lot of good things that happened because the Jags won. But when you think about it, like I kind of said at the beginning of the show, one drive makes a total difference in the actual way you talk about the team. Like, if we didn't have that fourth quarter drive that got us a win, you'd be talking about Henny having another horrible day, having, you know, only 4.9 mm-hmm. yards per play. You have Maurice Jones-Drew, didn't get up to 100 yards. You had so many drops by Cecil Shorts. You know, like, you had all these things that you can put in perspective. And the offense falling flat for most of the game if it wasn't for the defense giving them short fields. But that all changed because you get a win and you get one good series in there at the end, and it changes your whole perspective on anything. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, going to Vance in Orange Park. Vance, how you doing?
Vance.
I'm doing great, man. I just wanted to have a rebuttal. That may be a little strong word on Brian Sexton, but I was a fan and bought tickets before Jacksonville even really had a team given to us when we were trying to sell out a stadium. Brian came on board. Brian is one of the biggest fans there is, and he is depressed. He's discouraged just like the rest of us are because he's not just an announcer. He's a fan.
Thanks for the points, man. Yeah, exactly. And that's what we were trying to get to, is everybody that listens has a different perspective on what the guys are saying. I mean, if you're talking about negative stuff because they're doing negative things, someone might hear it as being negative. You know, if you hear them just talking, people be like, what do you want him to do? He's reporting on the game.
I mean, listen, a guy like Saqib. You know, Saqib is probably the biggest Jags fan, you know, and he, you know, you get to him, he's negative. You know what I mean? He spends his money. He's done all the right things, you know, that a fan should do. But then, you know, if the team doesn't give you any positive, you know, enough positive things, and you'll sound, it would think he was just being completely negative. But the reality of it is, the team had been negative over the past 3 years.
Let's go to Adam on the south side. Adam, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to respond to that caller. I've lived in other media markets where, you know, the team's having a great season and the coach or the quarterback has a bad game and they just absolutely eviscerate the guy. So, I mean, I'm on board with you guys. I think that we need to report the way it is.
Yeah, you don't want to sugarcoat something if it's, you know, all negative, but you also don't want to just be overly negative. I mean, you got to report on what you see, you know? You don't want to sound fake and be like, let's talk about the 20 good things that happened in the game even though we got blown out by 40 points, you know?
Exactly. But, hey, I think the team is looking good the last couple weeks. I'm really excited for Thursday night.
Yeah, can't wait for Thursday night.
Don't go to work, man. Don't go to work. Come to the party.
Let's go to Kyle in Arlington. Kyle, how you doing?
Hey, thank you. I've got to get back to when the Panthers debuted, the expansion team, back in 95, and I've been a Jaguars fan ever since. It's called a cat fight in Canton, if you remember that. And I just want to say that I'm seeing a steady improvement, and you know, and that's all we really needed. I mean, look out for next year. I think we're going to rock.
Yeah, I mean, great point. And that's what we said. As long as the team's getting better each and every week, then you have to be impressed. Win total, I mean, they've already surpassed their win total that they had from last year, so there's a positive right there. But as long as you're getting better each and every week, we knew it was going to be a struggle. We knew we were having to deal with bad draft picks over the past however many years, and it was going to be a hard road ahead.
I mean, just that in general, and just taking that, they're getting better. They got better,
so they're better
this year.
They're
better.
No matter what, they are a better team because they have a better record. No matter what. I mean, you
can
never take that away.
We were better than the 2012 team. We won 3 games.
Let's go to Ashton in Mandarin. Ashton, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, man, I know you've talked about this already, but where do you draw the line? I know the guys are out there trying to play ball. They're trying to win. They're not playing for the draft or anything that's going to happen next year. But you string together 3, 4, maybe 5 games, and then you're out of the running for, you know, Teddy or whoever the number one quarterback is coming out, then you're kind of stuck in mediocrity. I mean, how do you feel good about some wins when you're not getting your long-term guy?
Yeah, that's a huge thing for fans. We hear about it all the time because, you know, on one hand, it's like, yeah, you want to see the team win. It's a young team. You want to see the momentum. But on the other hand, they're falling back and back and back in draft pick line and might not get that great quarterback. But at the same time, you got to realize there's a good quarterback class coming out the year after. So if you don't get the quarterback, the worst thing you want to do is what happened with, I think, Blaine Gabbert, where you kind of stretched. You kind of stretched on a guy that you're not necessarily sure about because quarterbacks were flying off the board. He ended up not being the guy, and how far has that set your franchise back? So you don't want to sit there and stretch on a guy or pick a guy up just because you need a quarterback this year. You want to wait till the situation's right.
And, you know, something that you have to understand, that winning is – this is what this thing is about, winning. You know, because Gus Bradley is trying to put a culture together. And winning is huge as far as that's concerned. Young guys like Cyprian, like Gratz, you know – these guys need to be a part of winning. How else will they be able to believe in what Gus Bradley is doing if they're not successful with it? Yeah, they're not successful with it. That's tough to get some buy-in. And then when you talk about getting your team better, yeah, the draft, that's 50-50. You just don't know with rookies. I mean, it's been countless rookies picked number one in the draft that everyone thought was the best thing since sliced bread that Tim didn't Couch. Produce for you. Yeah, I mean, it's,
so Ryan
you don't,
Leaf.
You don't worry about what's you don't worry about what's going to take place in the draft. You got to deal with what's going on, what you have, and you know you have right now, and that's building a winning culture. You know, doing the things necessary to help this team understand and buy into what the coach is doing, so that when you do bring a rookie in, they understand what's going on. Now, if it's a 0-16, been losing and all this, it's a losing atmosphere. This young guy is coming in. It's not a good atmosphere. That's not the case. And you want to continue to build those things. Winning is more, way more important than trying to hold out and get a player in the draft. It's going to be so many rookies. They got 11 picks. You figure it also does a lot for your free agency. Winning is about it. That's the only. They said winning's not the thing. It's the only thing.
Well, and that's the thing. We're not in the locker room when Gus Bradley has those private, you know, speeches in front of his team. He could have been saying all year, which is probably what he was saying, listen, if we just do what we're talking about, if you listen to what my game plan is, trust me, we're going to get wins. They didn't get wins. Next year comes around, they'll be like, yeah, we'll listen to you. We'll go 0-16 again, right? But now you've got that momentum, whether it's true or not. You still have that perception that, listen, I told you guys, if you just listen, keep following, doing the right things, do it the way I tell you, we're going to start getting wins. And look, ever since the bye, 3-1.
Yeah, man. They're going to still have a top 10 pick. Top 10 pick in the draft. You figure the top 10 players that are coming out in the draft, you shouldn't lose it. You know that now we got to put the onus on this new general manager. Yep. Now he gets an opportunity to legitimately earn his stripes. Now last year,
he's looking pretty good.
He's done a great
picked.
Job. You talk about A. Sanders. You talk about Cyprian. You talk about Gratz. And Joker was starting to really, you know,
like
you
Josh
saw,
Evans. Those guys. I mean,
you saw some.
Well.
Yeah, and then they got 11 pick sniffs. And, you know, they get an opportunity again to go back and get some of those young guys. And you hope that they do. But you can't count on the young guys. You got to count on the guys you have right now and count on what they're capable of doing come Thursday night.
Let's go to Wesley on the north side. Final call of the evening. Wesley, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I was just calling to comment on the last guy's comment. They're still fighting for the right to keep their roster spots on the team, fight for positions on the team, fight for the right to maybe gain some quality free agents who may not come to a 2-14 team. So you have to continue to build it on your record to have the promise, man, look a little better for a free agent that you may want to pick up. And a lot of people are talking about the quarterback situation, but at the end of the day, the quarterback draft this year is a whole lot better than it was last year. A lot of people should be more concerned about maybe getting a quality defensive end like Jadeveon Clowney from South Carolina to help with defense pass rush.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You just got to make sure you don't miss whoever you get. You got to make sure you don't miss. And, I mean, he brought up a good point. These guys are fighting for roster spots. I mean, when you look around the NFL and you're on a team that might win only two games or might win a game or three, and if you can't stay on that team, if they don't want to bring you back, what does that say to other head coaches? Like, wow, these guys can only win two games, and they don't want this guy back, so he must not be a very good player. I mean, if you're not making it on that two-and-whatever team, you might not be playing in the NFL ever again.
And you got a lot of young free agents that they've brought in, you know, that their career, like Harbor, you know, four-year guy, he's here. This is a great opportunity for him. You figure he's not going to go out there and play for a loss. He's trying to find himself a home. So every time you get opportunities like we've seen with a guy like Harbor, you know, he's been taking really good advantage of.
Seeing guys off the street like Will Blackman. We got him off the street. I mean,
you figure how else do you know what you have going on? So you got to put those guys out there. You want to see if they're not having success, then you don't know if these are the guys that you want to keep. So that's definitely a big part of it. And being a professional, you know, it is their job to go out and play and win, not to go out and lose, but to go out there and win football games.
And next week, late night, prime time, Houston. Yo. I need all you guys that called in.
Don't
this
go to
week.
Work.
Call in again next week too, because we're gonna need help staying awake in these late night prime time game. Doesn't even start till 8:25. We're not gonna get on
what
the air.
What time
the
tailgate
like
party start? That's the big concern, man. We got to get the party started.
We're starting at like 4 on the air, right? So
I guess. Then what about the block party? I mean, is it? You know, the mayor announced a block party.
I think
everyone
should
know about
that.
Put me on
the spot and make me look bad because I don't have the.
I should have known too, but you need to figure. Basically, don't go to work. Thursday off. Everybody
come out, hang out at the stadium.
It's Jack, just declare, I'm declaring it Jack's Day.
The judge, Marco Coleman, has spoken. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to follow us, Marco is actually tweeting now.
I am tweeting.
What's your Twitter handle?
MDC Live.
And I am JGray_WOKV. So follow us. We'll be tweeting stuff out all throughout the week. Stuff we hear, funny stuff we see. And we'll be back again next week, of course, taking your calls. If you want to program the number into your phone, it's 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We do it after every Jaguars game, win or lose. and we want to hear from you. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show. This is on Jaguars Radio.